We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
.1201, the best hour of Show and Vern. I am Ron the Show Hughley. That is Joshua Lamont Vernier and Steve Sirtis producing this bad boy. Remember, Show and Vern, the longest running, fastest growing sports show in all of the middays in Kansas City, is presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclynn.com. All right, if you heard the tease, Vern.
I didn't.
I know, you're taking off. But if you heard the tease, and many of you, I said it feels like the only pressure that Patrick Mahomes, the most pressure that Patrick Mahomes has, is the pressure that he is placing on himself. And it's really unusual to me, because normally when you see a person who is perceived to be the best player in the sport, like LeBron was, who was the MVP in the sport, like a LeBron was, who hasn't won a title before, those were situations with LeBron. Generally, they have the most pressure.
Yeah, but stop comparing him to LeBron. LeBron was known when he was 16. Mahomes came onto the scene last season. So I don't think necessarily works. LeBron had pressure that first game against the Sacramento Kings. There was pressure for LeBron.
LeBron's pressure is more, but still, in the scenario of you being the best player of the sport, you've not won a championship, you are the reigning MVP,
so Giannis,
there's pressure.
It's Giannis.
Giannis, Peyton. Yeah, there's pressure. And there's generally pressure from the fan base. There's generally pressure from national. And to me, it feels like the person and the pressure in this season is pushed towards Andy and pushed towards the organization. I think definitely here in Kansas City, people will not look at Pat if they don't get to where they get to, unless he just has some horrific. If Pat does everything he did in the playoffs last year, he's not getting.
If he throws up a goose egg in the first half in
yes,
the AFC
he's
title
not,
game?
Oh, Pat's not okay. Getting. That pressure's going to Andy. Maybe next year, but Pat to a place, especially locally with the fans, people aren't coming at Pat like that.
You're being prisoner of the moment right now.
I don't
now.
Believe that.
You're being
aren't.
Prisoner of preseason excitement, and we haven't seen football in a long time. If they get goose-egged in the first half of the AFC title game at home again by Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots.
You think the fan base is coming at Pat?
Let's remember what would have already happened. 16 regular season games, 2 playoff games. It's all been about this. And if he still comes out and misses 2 wide open touchdown passes and is unable to put points on the board, if he takes his offense out of field goal range like he did in the first half against the New England Patriots, man, no, he will feel that. There is pressure on Patrick Mahomes. And I know you know that.
I'm sitting here every day with you, and I don't know what you're looking at or listening to.
Been around too long. I've seen too much in this league to think that the reigning MVP, a guy that everyone is trying to anoint as the new face of the NFL, can just oh-blah-dee-oh-blah-da his way through the regular season.
I've never seen anything like it, Vern.
That's not going to happen.
And that's what we have. It didn't happen for Rodgers. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, that's because you're too in it, right? You were always on the outside with Peyton. You were on the outside with Aaron Rodgers. You were on the outside with whatever other quarterback or athlete you want to name, but you're in it. You've never had a player like this here in Kansas City. Now, locally, yes, it's still very much a honeymoon and a love affair. You're right. But once the bullets start flying, that's when perspective goes bye-bye. That's when we lose the love affair. That's when we need wins. Now, let Patrick Mahomes have a rough week one. Not that people are going to write him off or be done with him, but let him have a rough
week one.
He's
not getting any of it. Unless he throws 5-6 interceptions, he's not getting it. I'm just saying something
fan
crazy.
Fanboys? Are we talking about people that would make out with him? Are we talking about football people?
When Arrowhead Pride or whoever is doing the postgame show, it's going to be about Andy, everything else but Pat. It is not going to be about Pat. He is not facing the national pressure that guys like Peyton Manning did.
Right, he's on primetime throughout the season. There is so much pressure on Patrick Mahomes to not just prove that last year wasn't a fluke, because I don't think that will be difficult. There is going to be pressure on Patrick Mahomes to carry this organization to a Super Bowl. That's just what happens at that position when you've been anointed the MVP.
There may be pressure of that from himself. But it's not coming
from the outside.
It's not coming from the outside. Not yet. Not yet. That thing is going to Andy and the front office. Brett, who doesn't make any decisions, has more pressure on him than Pat does right now. People are not going to
Brett. Ron, come on.
Brett Veach, as I said,
people in Los Angeles and New York, when they open up the microphones on Monday after a Chiefs playoff loss or a Chiefs primetime loss in week four of the NFL season, they're going in on Brett Veach.
They're looking at Andy. They're looking at Andy and the front office before they look at Pat. Pat is not getting that type of pressure that an MVP and the best player in the sport
gets. I just don't know what you would cite. When does this happen?
I've never seen it.
Right, it's not happening.
I've never seen it until I've seen this cat.
But I'm telling you, that's not going to happen.
Especially for a starved organization who hasn't won anything. I don't see it. Pat's not getting any blame. If they lose games, not this year, maybe next year, not this year. I will be shocked if we are coming in here, not even shocked, because it won't happen. When we come in here, if they lose games and that people aren't looking at Andy and Brent and other people than Pat.
You know what? I'll dance with you for a second. What is it about Pat? What is it about Pat that is going to make Fox Sports 1 and ESPN and all these gas bags on television and on the radio? What is it about Pat that will force them to go, you know what, I'm going to do something I've never done, and that is give that player a pass?
The big thing is because on a national level, it's the coach. On the national level, it's Andy Reid, and more pressure is hinted on him on a national level. On a local level, Pat can't do anything wrong right now. Pat can't do anything wrong right now.
No, he hasn't done anything wrong.
Hasn't and can't, do anything wrong right now.
Of course he can. He can play poorly. And then you will be judged justifiably off of that poor performance.
We'll see.
That's just how sports goes.
We'll see how many times they lose games and Pat is the one that people are having problems with.
Now, Ron.
We'll see.
Because it sounds like you might be hedging your bets now.
Oh, I'm not hedging anything.
Now, so you're saying that he's just not going to be discussed, his name won't come up, it's all going to fall at the feet of the defense and the offense. I mean, shoot, we talked about Patrick Mahomes in the Rams game, in the Patriots game, in the Seahawks. We talked about him, and we are in the city where the fans love Patrick Mahomes.
I would say that me and you and probably Carrington were alone on that. We were the ones who perceived as the haters because we brought up some of the things with him. No, that dude is untouchable now.
But I think that's the point. Is, look, flawless year one. Now, of course, there were pitfalls that, as you mentioned, we pointed out. But flawless year one, flawless offseason, flawless brand. The guy has been perfect. So once you see the Teflon Don start to wear some of it, then the floodgates open. Then you start picking apart the game. Then you start wondering, does he have what it takes to get that win against Tom Brady? The same way they did with Peyton Manning. The same way that they have with every superstar in the history of professional sports.
And I'm telling you, because of who his coach is on a national level and because of how people feel about him, never having an athlete anything close to being like that since George Brett, This year, he gets a pass. Next year, it might change. This year, he doesn't have pressure on him. Not like the type of pressure that a person who is an MVP and best player of a sport has.
When does the coach supersede the player? I'm sure it's happened. I'm just struggling to find it. When does the coach, however great the coach, when does he supersede the superstar on his team on a national level?
I think it is a perfect storm because of the type of coach that you have with his history.
Okay, so that's never happened either.
And I think it is a perfect storm. I think Andy in this way is treated almost like a college coach, a person who this dude is.
He was with Alex Smith, but now that he has the MVP, this is Pat's team. Look, locally, Andy's going to wear a majority of it. I'm with you. But Pat's going to hear it as well. Locally, this is on Andy. You got to get it done. You got your pick of defensive coordinator. You redid the defense. You have your quarterback and your wide receiver. You have the best team you've ever had, Andy. There are no excuses. I get that. I agree. Nationally, this is Pat's team. Andy's great, but everything begins and basically ends.
Yeah, nationally, with Patrick Mahomes. You could say this is Pat's team, but the pressure nationally is on Andy.
Let's give away an MVP golf card, a KC MVP golf card. Purchase yours right now at MVPGolfKC.com. It gets you two rounds at five of your favorite courses for just $99. It's $340 worth of golf, but we're only charging you $99. Go to MVPGolfKC.com. Swope Memorial, Sycamore Ridge, Minor Park, Heart of America, Adams Point. Those five courses. Right now, caller number seven to 913-576-7610. Caller number 7, 913-576-7610. Caller number 7, you walk away with a KC MVP golf card. If you are hitting the links this afternoon, make sure you hydrate appropriately and make sure you put on that sunscreen. I'm here for the people, man.
If you're here, if you're listening and you're my house cleaner, I would just like for you to
What? What are you doing?
I just like for someone to tell me where my deodorant is.
Like, are you accusing them of theft?
I don't know. Not theft. They're great.
Does your house cleaner listen?
I don't know. But I cannot. I had to go to my favorite spot again. I had to go to Hy-Vee this morning to get
the same Hy-Vee that you crapped your pants in?
And had that bag situation yesterday, the other day. I had to go and pick up some deodorant because I can't find mine.
So what's going on with, did you end up?
Yeah, I ended up getting some. I've got some. Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
It still smells surprisingly fresh.
I wouldn't do that to you, but I don't know where they put it. Like sometimes they put it under the drawers because they clean the top. I'm like, I cannot find my deodorant. I looked all around in the bathroom in our drawers and
I hate to talk to you the way that I at times talk to my fiance, but did you really look for it? How hard did you try to find it?
Were you saying that I wasn't looking?
That's basically what I'm saying. Did you try or were you in a rush? You're like, I can't find it.
So basically what it feels like to me that you're saying is that you could walk into my house and my bathroom right now and you feel like you can find it.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like I could stumble across it.
Yeah. Because that's what my fiance does, and you and her are very similar.
I looked very hard.
Okay. All right.
I don't believe you.
Maybe. House cleaner, man or woman?
Combo.
Okay. Now, I'm just throwing this out there.
Because there was one time where...
Is it like a man and a wife?
Well, there was one time I... Because generally, they take everything off the top, and they put it on the bottom. They put it underneath the drawer so they can clean the top off, which is cool. And generally, it's under there. Mm-hmm. And lotion has been gone, too.
Let me get to this real quick. You've shown me nothing to believe this would be the case, but I just have to run it by you. Could they be sending a message that you are not tipping properly? Again, you've never shown me any inclination that you're cheap. You've always been anything but frugal. You're a very kind-hearted man when it comes to picking up the tab.
Why do you tip the house cleaners? Don't they have like a standard rate that you just pay them?
I've never had one. I just kind of assume that you do tip them.
Did you?
You do, right?
I'm sorry. Did you work in an industry where you're giving services where people give tips?
Yeah. But it's not like, okay, I understand.
Did you have
like
a standard pay?
I understand
you got?
At a hotel.
See, he got me.
You do that. Not for a house cleaner, not for a private service that
Why
you're paying
you
for in your own home.
Why would you do it more for a house cleaner than a hotel?
Why would you leave him like a 10 spot
at the hotel.
Yeah, so then you would definitely, if someone could steal everything in your house and they don't, that to me alone is worth a tip.
So them doing their job?
Who questions?
Supposed to give them more money?
Who questions a person who does a service about giving a tip?
I hope you don't take offense to that question, but I just wanted to pose it. Do you think they are manifesting their anger at you?
I don't
for
think
how
so.
You,
we take care of them. We get them Christmas gifts.
Oh my God, that's even better.
That's a very loose definition of service. There's lots of services you can tip for.
Yeah, and you.
If that's the case.
Sir, did you feel like we should tip you? Is that what you're driving at right now?
Steve, what are you.
Nope.
I hate.
Congratulations.
You're never going to get married.
Ronald.
I'm sorry, man.
What are you saying?
I would just walk away from people.
You think I'm upset about that? I get to do whatever the hell I want to do.
That's what.
Then you got to do what all single people say.
Yeah, I'm just saying, man. Like, you just say some of the things of the way you live.
I know, but don't say that.
My life is.
I know where my deodorant's at.
Just apologize to Steve. You took it too far with that.
Did I? I really don't want to.
I mean, he's told you that you're in the wedding. You're like one of the top four groomsmen in his wedding, whatever
really
it happens. Drunk or not, you told Ron that Ron is one of your top four.
Blacked out hammer.
I don't understand it. You would tip the house? What are you talking about?
You already pay them.
But couldn't you say that with everyone? Waiters, waitresses, bartenders?
Exactly. So I'm supposed to tip everybody?
And see, this is the thing.
Yeah, you,
this was
you
a
bless
gift.
Them if you can.
This
man.
Was a
what
gift that I was going to give for you and KDB. I was going to send them because they do a really good job. I was going to send them to knock you guys' house out one good time.
I like cleaning. I really enjoy it. Yeah, I don't have kids. When I have kids, I would appreciate that. But
that was going to be kids. Part of, you know, something that I wanted to do. I just.
Now you do that. You don't have to come to the wedding. That would be such a nice gift. We wouldn't miss you.
Easily, I was looking for that deodorant for like 6 real minutes.
Jeremy in Belton, you won the KC MVP golf card. You'll have another chance to win a KC MVP golf card coming up.
You're right.
On
I'm
the
bigger
drive.
Than that. I'm sorry, Steve. You'll get married.
I don't really need your pity.
You're
yesterday.
Right. I'm glad you read that because it was all pity.
Come on, you guys. Yesterday, I can't remember a video that went more viral from 610 Sports Radio than Cody Tapp and his conversation with Ned Yost about the moon landing. I hope this doesn't come across.
I have no idea what this is.
Disrespectful.
I don't
I'm
know
glad what... that you don't know what this is about because I need you to do me a favor, Ron, and I need you to listen because. I want to know, in this audio from Ned Yost and his conversation with Cody Tapp yesterday, when do you dismiss what Ned Yost is saying, or when do you accept what Ned Yost is saying? It's 2.5 minutes, basically, of Ned Yost talking about how much he loves space exploration and the moon landing. When I listened to it, I went, he's making it up. I don't really believe he knows what he's talking about. Now, maybe that's just because of the relationship that I had with Ned when we would give each other a hard time. But when I heard this from Ned, I said, Ned, you know nobody's going to be able to call you out on it. I think you're making it up.
Oh, God, man.
Listen.
We have a partnership.
You Listen think Ned to would it. Watch space movies with me? Because I'm really into space movies.
When do you buy it or when do you dismiss it? Tell me to stop. And then we will go from there. Here's Ned.
What a 1202 program alarm is?
No.
Okay, well, then you don't know anything about the space.
Stop it. He's lying.
Right?
That's too confident. I've learned from Steve way too much. That's too confident.
No. You got to go longer because if he backs it up with facts, He knows
Steve,
exactly what he's talking about.
You back it up with words, but they're never facts.
Now, today's the anniversary of the thing taking off.
Yes, but he's going to be on the road for when it actually landed. So
I'll ask you.
I know just about everything that there is to know about it. I've studied it. I love it. I watched it. If I could go tomorrow, I'd go. A 1202 program alarm,
another
Cody.
One. If I could go tomorrow, now putting himself in a place.
Okay.
Because we all know you can't go to. All right.
I've studied it. I watched it. I loved it.
I loved it.
That is something
I would
say.
If I could go tomorrow, I'd go. When I know it's impossible for me to go tomorrow.
A 1202 program alarm, Cody, was when they came apart, the LEM and the command module. And they started their burn to land on the moon. Well, Buzz Aldrin, who was
giving names,
the LEM pilot, thought it was very beneficial to keep the rendezvous radar on and the landing radar on. But at that time, the computers in Apollo 11, you have more computing power probably by 20 in your cell phone. And it overloaded the computer, and it gave a 1202 program alarm, right? And everybody panicked. What is it? What's a 1202? Is it going to be a fatal alarm? Are they going to have to abort? And somebody in the back room all of a sudden remembered what a 1202 was, and they said, we'll go on that as long as it doesn't continue to pop up. And they hit, you know, the button to take it off. They had one more 1202 alarm and a 1201 alarm, which was all the same.
Is this the post game?
Oh, this is before the game.
Oh, okay, all right.
Before they finally landed. But it was all revolving around the radar landing and the rendezvous landing. Now, what else do you want to know about this?
Just about your experience watching it.
Oh, now, when I challenge him after he put together all those damn words, a few telling. How hard he said computer, like that was a real tell. The computer, you see, like.
Well, this is how we know if he's lying, if he gets angry with him. After he asks him another question about
it. You want to know what it reminded me of?
Because that's my response. You get aggressive.
I could be wrong. He may know his stuff. What it reminded me of was in Billy Madison, mm-hmm. when he was asked to give the answer that he just went into the puppy had mm-hmm. lost his way. And the puppy society. That's what it sounded like to me. Like he's just saying stuff. I had to give it to you. Come on now.
Not buying it.
Try to put himself in the situation.
It goes on for another minute and a half.
Now, what else do you want to know about it, Cody? Speaking of Cody, our Royals insider, Cody Tapp, is coming up next.
Joe and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
All right, welcome back in, Joe and Vern. We are riding through hardcore today. Cody Tapp, our Royals insider, will join us here in moments. And we'll get into the big stories with the Royals, Bubba Starling, maybe even Glenn Sparkman's big performance yesterday. Really
Ron,
big performances with the starters here of late. Yeah. Glenn was good. Brad Keller was good. Also, only I'm going to throw sliders. Jake Junis was really good. Three in a row. Now Danny Duffy's going to cap it off. I'm sure that's what we'll talk about.
Really appreciate you guys listening. But when Cody Tapp joins us, our Royals insider, who you'll hear tonight at 6 o'clock, getting you ready for Game 3 against Chicago, the story of the Royals on July 17th, 2019, the story of the Royals is Adalberto Mondesi, who yesterday on this very show, Ron the Show Hughley, said, you know, I'm starting to get concerned that Adalberto Mondesi is regressing. The numbers have continued to plummet since I first brought it to everyone's attention a few weeks ago. They've continued to go down, and Ron's concerned. That's how he spent a majority of yesterday's show in referencing Adalberto Mondesi. Now, Mondesi takes the field, obviously gung-ho to prove Ron the Show Hughley wrong. He scores a Ricky Henderson home run, basically, in the first inning. Reaches on a bloop single, steals second, advances to third on an error, and scores because of his pure speed. So then Ron, even though he had spent the previous 4 hours on the radio questioning what Adalberto Mondesi is capable of and what he ultimately would be able to do moving forward for the Kansas City Royals. Ron decides to take credit for this resurgence, this first inning resurgence of Adalberto Mondesi, and Ron takes to Twitter at 8:36 last night and says, I really do what I can, Kansas City. Just like I challenge Josh Vernier every day, I challenge Adalberto Mondesi. So Ron takes credit for that at 8:36. Ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't even 10 minutes later.
Sanchez on the left side, switch hitter, hits a pop foul off third down the left field line. Mondesi in pursuit, dives, but he didn't catch it. Boy, that was kind of a crash landing. Mondesi still down, and Alex Gordon motioning to the Royals trainer and Ned Yost come out and check on our shortstop.
It almost looked like he did a face plant. Well, that's not good.
Well, all that for a foul ball, and it just shows you the mindset of Mondesi. He's all out.
He almost made a sensational catch, too. But they're going to have to make a change here and probably move Lopez to short, move Witt from right to second base, and bring on Billy Hamilton, I'm guessing.
Wow, yeah. So he will undergo an MRI today. We will get the latest from Cody Tapp coming up in just a moment. If you're new to the show, we call it the show curse.
It's been in existence for
a cool 3-4 years. Remember when Salvador Perez fell down the stairs moments before opening day? Moments before he fell down those stairs, Ron wondered aloud what it would look like. Salvador Perez going through a tough season. Salvi said, don't worry about it. I'll just take the season off and fall down these
stairs.
That's
not even what I said. What I said was this team is an injury away from losing 100 games.
You may remember that Thursday night game, Chiefs, Chargers, retiring Tony putting Tony Gonzalez's name in the ring of honor. They wore what? Red on red. Eric Berry returned, and Ron grabbed the microphone with the passion of 1,000 suns and said, I guarantee the Chiefs will not lose this game. If the Chiefs lose this game, I will admit that the show curse is real. And we all remember, wide open, two-point conversion, Chiefs lose. You also may or may not remember game one of the NBA Finals a few seasons ago, Ron said J.R. Smith will be the difference tonight, and he was. He forgot the score and gave the game and ultimately the series away to Golden State. We went into a preseason game, and Ron said, I guarantee not a single cornerback will be burned. It was the very first drive by the Atlanta Falcons when Tremont Smith gave up a 40-plus yard touchdown. You may remember this time last year, Ron the Show Hughley, with the passion of 1,000 suns, said, I promise you, Kansas City, these Oakland Raiders are the real deal.
All right, Vern. Cody, please, Lord. Cody Vern has just lost it. I don't know why he's doing this to me. There is no curse. All right, it was just a freak accident. It was a player, an Adalberto Mondesi, who was going hard and dove, and, you know, freak accidents happen. What's the latest that you've heard on this? And as the real Royals insider, what is the sense you're getting on potentially what we're looking at with Mondesi?
Look, I mean, it's still kind of a mystery because shoulder injuries don't happen very often. I looked up every shoulder injury that sent a player to the IL this year.
There's only kidding, Cody? Are you doing this? Good Lord, man. It's not my fault.
Five. Oh, my That's God. It. None of them are shoulder dislocations. Hey, I don't want this heat on me. I said he was going to be a top five MVP candidate. It's got to go on someone. It might as well land on you.
That's right, Cody. You're damn right.
You're listening to The Insiders
I'm not taking the heat on
with
this.
Cody Tapp and Josh Vernier.
So, Cody, if it is something that, and I know we shouldn't speculate, but I mean, you err on the side of caution when you're staring down a 100-loss season. Does this mean we're going to see Nicky Lopez at shortstop, or is this Humberto Arteaga coming back?
You know, I've never known Ned to not have a backup shortstop, which makes me feel like it's Arteaga, they would get the gig. It'd make a lot of sense to move Nicky over and then get Brett Phillips up, who's been playing well, or Mejia, and kind of move things around a little bit. But based on the fact that they've never really gone that long without a backup shortstop, it makes me feel like it'd end up being Arteaga if Mondesi has to miss some time. And at this point, we kind of suspect maybe it'll go that way, even though I'm really waiting on results of the MRI to determine that. But yeah, I feel like it's got to be a shortstop. Just based on how they've handled their roster before, I guess I'd be a little surprised if they were willing to just let Nicky Lopez be the only guy at short on the roster.
All right, Cody Tapp, our Royals insider, Cody Tapp, is brought to you by AirQKC.org. Clean air, we've got this. Cody, just real quick, the sense after the game, because you were in the locker room as always, what was the sense you got from the clubhouse and people around and how they are perceiving this injury?
Dozier had said that he thought Mondesi felt like it was a separation. So that's coming a few different directions, but he was standing out there by Mondesi, and he gave the impression that, Mondesi thought he separated his shoulder. So, Ned wouldn't give us much because they were still kind of getting some information on it. And a lot of the other players just talked about kind of how it didn't look good and the way he's holding the shoulder.
Right.
I've separated a shoulder before. If you've ever done that, that's kind of how they support it when you separate a shoulder. And it, like, knowing the length of injury is hard because there's different degrees of that too. How much it's separated, how much heel time. Like, Cody Bellinger missed a game with a separated shoulder earlier. But the fact that he's a switch hitter, so he needs that front shoulder, even if it's his non-throwing arm, more than most guys do, you've got to think it's going to cost him some time. The question is the severity, because it could be shorter term, but it could be much longer, depending on what they find out from the MRI today.
Cody Tapp, our Royals insider, joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. I had a question about Mondesi. I guess I can still ask it, even though he's staring down an IL stint because of Ron. But his offensive numbers, and I've mentioned it before that I'm disappointed that he's not obviously the best player on the team. It's Dozier, maybe Witt. I thought that, by the 17th of July, it would be clear that Adalberto Mondesi was the best player on this team, and I don't think that that's necessarily clear. I'm wondering, because in my experiences with him, confidence has been an issue in the past. How is he carrying himself prior to the injury? Do you think the offensive struggles of the past few months are getting to him?
I'm sure they do a little bit. He seems more confident to me this year than last year in that department. Partially because he snapped out of some cold streaks before. So I didn't think that was really getting him down. But I think it's clear when he starts to go through some of those struggles. I mean, it can go into a spin a little bit where he lets him kind of pile on. And then he might be the kind of hitter who, when he's confident, man, he's confident. Like early in the season, that's when, Vern, you watch the first month of the season, you're like, oh, that guy's great.
Right.
And he's going to be great. And then he went back through the impatient hitting and guessing instead of swinging. I think that's the frustrating part about the injury is that that's fine. Like, if he's going to go through some of that more this year, I thought maybe that was just going to be put behind him in the first part, the second half last year, the first part of this year, that was going to be the new Mondesi. But it's still clear he needed some development or coming through some of that process. That's what sucks about the injury is that this is a bad time developmentally to have something like that come up. You're trying to figure out a way to play through those things and find your way through them. If you have an injury, then it just feels like you're hitting the reset again.
Right.
Like you're going back next year or later this year and trying to be like, okay, how do I become that player again? And that would be the really unfortunate thing if this ends up being long-term.
C-Dot asked me a great question. I'm interested in your response. Do the Royals need Adalberto Mondesi to be a superstar if Dayton's plan is ultimately going to come to fruition? Dayton's plan of being fundamentally competitive for 7 to 10 years in this rebuild. Is Adalberto Mondesi being a superstar, is that the biggest key?
No. The pitching coming through in AA is bigger than that. Those guys who, like whether it's Bolin who threw the no-hitter or Bubich or Kowar or Singer or Lynch, getting two, and if, man, things are going great, three starters out of that mix while Keller and Junis and other guys develop, and you find some mix of five that's, equal to the task of the five you had in the World Series runs, that's good. because Dozier and Witt, you know, I think if you're looking at your second base situation, you're like, okay, we're better at second base than we were in the World Series. Your third base, obviously Moose had a great year in 15. But Dozier, when healthy, has had a great year. And then everything else just kind of replaces itself. The one hole still is center
right.
based on that. But I still think the pitching, they've got a good offense this year. It's not a bad offense. And they're still losing because the pitching couldn't go for a while. Now watch when they get hot recently. And that's why they win 4 out of 5. Right. I still think that's more important than Mondesi becoming a superstar. But you need Mondesi to be good. You need him to be a good player because of maybe some of the lesser talent or less production you'll get out of other positions. It was going to be a nice boost to get it out of shortstop.
Cody, I want to get you out real quick on this one. The other big story besides the Mondesi injury that apparently is my fault is Bubba Starling since he's been there. And you were at spring training all year, all spring training, and you watched Bubba there, and you've seen him since he's been up since Friday. How would you express how he's been since he's been up?
He's been okay. I mean, offensively, he's been all right. I don't see a ton of flaws in that. I don't see him exactly driving the ball yet, so I think there's still some of the adjustment offensively there, but he doesn't look uncomfortable at the plate, which I think is big. Defensively, I'm still waiting to see some of that shine that they've talked about with him, but he's really only had a couple of opportunities to show that off. And, you know, people talk about, I still think, you know, defensively you have to adjust to the big leagues too, especially at Kauffman Stadium. I think he's been okay, like, which is fine, honestly, in the early going. And he was better, he's performing better right now than Billy Hamilton was, so that feels like a win too.
Mm. All right. Cody Tapp, as he joins us every single Wednesday at 12:30. We hope to hear good news with Mondesi,
yes.
And please continue to follow Cody B. Tapp, as he will give us that information as soon as he gets it. Thanks, Cody.
No problem. Keep my name out of your mouth, too. I don't want any of that bad.
Another one came to my mind. Do you remember earlier this season when you said, hey, if the Royals are leading at 2 o'clock, we'll buy everyone beers at Kauffman Stadium, and they were losing, 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 and then the stroke before 2 o'clock, Gordo hit that 3-run home run, and we had to spend like $700 buying everyone in the stadium beers?
It was unbelievable.
That's show curse as well. Because that didn't have any carryover to our ratings, which I guess was your idea.
What do you mean?
We're
tied for 11th.
I know, but that thing happened 3 months ago.
So that's on me too.
No
now,
question.
Cody, anything bad that happened?
I didn't mention
to Cody?
The Morgan Freeman thing either. Morgan Freeman, you were discussing him on your night show, and I think within the hour, Morgan Freeman got accused of sexual harassment or doing something that he shouldn't have been doing. And then how about Bill Cosby?
I don't even have any more fight in me to fight it. It's just not true, and it's stupid. And everyone blaming, we have people blaming me for tickets they got because they don't know how to drive, like it's my fault. This is just sad. Everything's Ron's fault. Everything's show's fault. Serta smoking, my fault.
I mean,
Vern's hair, my fault. Vern's chest hair, my fault.
I would have to imagine a shoulder injury in baseball is pretty devastating.
Vern's big teeth, my fault.
Did you hear what Cody said about the rarity of separated shoulders in Major League Baseball? It's like one out of every 1,000 baseball players has this happen to
them. Text line, no listener number. Show is absolutely responsible for Bill Cosby. Is this where we are?
Hey, coming up in the next half hour, we'll give you a chance to win. I'll be more specific. Make sure you're listening at 1 o'clock. We'll give you a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to Rivalry Renewed as it returns for year number 2 at the Silverstein Eye Center's Arena. Yesterday, Big 12 Media Days, Chris Klieman took center stage talking about his K-State football program and taking veiled shots at Les Miles. Les Miles, who of course wore his LSU national championship ring to Big 12 Media Days. Chris Klieman was asked Where's your national championship ring? Why aren't you wearing a national championship ring like Les Miles was?
I'd have seven of them on, and I thought that'd be a little bit heavy to have seven of them on, but they're displayed in the office. Come by and see them.
Yeah, man, if that was like... I think if that was like maybe a Missouri coach or something, that would make me mad. But I give it to him, man. I respect that, man. I didn't know he had that in him.
Yeah, KU doesn't hate K-State.
No.
You don't hate K-State.
No, no.
Even in football where...
No. Right. They run us up and down.
But that was impressive. Look, Chris Klieman is, in my opinion, the best football coach, college football coach in the area. I believe him to be the hardest worker. I think he will grind more than anyone else when it comes to local college football coaches. But that's an aspect of his game that I didn't know he had. The mic drop, the visiting a kid on a recruiting trip, and maybe opening up a backpack and like three of your national championship rings fall
lesser
out.
National championship rings, yeah.
Say it again?
Lesser national.
Yeah, I think seven national championships
doesn't...
offsets one that you stole from Nick Saban or you gravy trained off of Nick Saban's talent, Les.
Okay, no one else believes that, but you can keep thinking that.
What
That's just you don't have an experience with a real national championship.
1997, Charles Woodson,
Nebraska
Brian Griese.
Nebraska were the real
champions. No, that was fake. No, don't get me started on that.
I'm just saying.
That was because Scott Frost got up there and cried for Tom Osborne's old ass.
They
please give him one before he leaves.
They would have wiped the floor with your asses. They would have wiped the floor with your asses.
They lost to Mizzou. They had to kick a ball to even win it.
They didn't lose that game.
They lost that game.
They won that game.
You kicked the ball
to yourself.
They
didn't lose that game.
Get real.
You played Ryan Leaf, who was high at the time, in the Rose seatbelt.
That is awful, Ronald. Come on. That's not you.
I'm sorry.
That's not you.
You guys pushed me, but I'm just saying.
Ryan Leaf turned his life
he
around.
He has. At that time, I bet he was high. Sorry.
Ron.
He was for sure. He did just sign with ESPN, though.
No, yes.
Yeah, let's applaud him for turning his life around.
At that time. But at that time, he was playing quarterback at Washington State. High as a kite.
He was doped up.
I will say this about Chris Klieman.
No, man. I mean,
I don't think.
I can't take
this. I'm just going to say, at K-State, for what K-State is looking for, and I don't just say this because we are the home of K-State football and K-State sports, but I can't envision him, much like Chiefs fans envision Juan Thornhill, believe. He's going to be step right in, ready to go, can't see, can't envision Juan Thornhill not working. I feel that way about him at K-State. I feel I cannot see a place where Chris Klieman is not generally bowl eligible, 7 to 8 wins. I cannot see that not working.
You know he's got a sure victory when he squares off with Les.
Yeah, I still, even if Les has a run like Mark Mangino had where they go and win the Orange Bowl or something like that, he has success.
That's not going to happen.
He has success like that. I still believe Chris Klieman is going to hold. I can't see Chris Klieman having 4 win seasons, 5 win, like not being bowl eligible. He just seems like somebody that at least, at worst, will be solid.
Chris Klieman's closer to the College Football Hall of Fame than Les Miles.
Untrue. That's absolutely
7 national titles.
That's stupid. Go look
Les Miles should give his to Nick Saban.
Next, Les Miles has a national championship at the highest. I don't even know why I'm arguing this. Because you know that was stupid when you said that. Stupid as hell. Newsflash.
Serta's newsflash.
Let it get to me.
The Denver Broncos report today for physicals, and later in the day, a initial meeting with new head coach Vic Fangio. They are participants in this year's Hall of Fame game, so they get to start their training camp a little early. But not in attendance is quarterback Drew Lock. Their second-round pick is yet to agree to a contract with the Denver Broncos. He is still unsigned.
He needs to get in there. The hell's he think he is?
The
Your second round pick, you plummeted in the draft. I mean, I got love for him.
I honestly, when I
what
hear
are you
that,
holding out for? Put your ass in there.
Can I ask the question to the Missouri?
Maybe John Elway respects it. I mean, that's what Elway did, right?
Can I ask the question? A question to Missouri fans. Seriously, if you're listening, Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306, or if you're following me at Ronnie H Show, RONNIEH Show. How do you feel about Drew Lock? Like, where is he? Like, what? Like, how important is Drew Lock? Like, for me, I don't know Missouri
fans. Like his
NFL
career?
No, I'm just talking about him, the love for Drew Lock. Like, to me, I always feel like it's Chase Daniel, number one. Like, I feel like Chase Daniel is how I feel about Mario Chalmers and Sherron Collins. Right? Right at the top. Maybe not even that, but right at the top.
That's or sad Jeremy. For Missouri.
How important is he, Drew Lock? Because he's a Lee Summit kid. Missouri. Like, he was great. He set SEC records. I'm wondering where he is to Missouri fans. Always. But, yeah, he needs to get his ass at camp. I don't know what the hell that's about. They got a guard holding out, too.
Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. Isn't it the K-State guard?
I just said they got a guard. I don't know who the hell he is. Said he had a guard. Coming up, once again, as Vern said, your chance to win a four-pack of Rivalry Renewed tickets. And Vern said he got a little nerdy yesterday about the Chiefs, which led him to his first real concern about the Chiefs. I'll just say this. He's not crazy or insane with some of his takes like he has been in the past. But I'm sure, I'm positive that you all will agree with me, your boy, your leader, the show. That's coming up next.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.